College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Credit to Freddie Anderson. I thought he was a better goalie this series. I think I could have been better and, you know, made a couple saves, you know, in Raleigh and definitely tonight. And yeah, it sucks. It's a good team. So tip your hat to them.
Logan Thompson. I loved everything he had to say last night. He stepped up to the plate, figuratively, I suppose, but he stepped up to the microphone and essentially said, I got to be better. I'm a grown up. I have to deal with the fact that I allowed two goals I shouldn't have allowed. There are a lot of other reasons why you lose the game, though. You didn't score. You got to score to win, people. You got to shoot the puck to score. You got to get pucks on goaltenders so that they make the mistakes that Logan Thompson made last evening. There's blame to go around, obviously.
Nobody's hands are clean.
If he's normal Logan Thompson, that's probably a shutout, and you probably win the game 1-0 last night. But when you only score a goal, it's hard to blame the goaltender all that much. But we're not really necessarily just looking at the one game. If you want to dive into the series, we could do that, 800-636-1067. Danny, the question is, was this season a success? I mean, for me, the answer is a rousing yes. Nobody, and I mean nobody, thought the Capitals were going to be one of the better teams in the conference. They didn't even really have a chance to win the Metro. You go back to the beginning of the year, look at The Athletic or whichever your publication is that you like their hockey coverage, ESPN. They were bottom five, bottom seven in a lot of power rankings coming into the year. The fact that they made the playoffs was shocking, let alone being the number one team in the Metro, being the number one team in the East, and for most of the year until the Ovi chase became the priority late, being the number one team in the National Hockey League. So it is hard for me to say anything other than that this was a huge success, but now you've got to build on it. Mm-hmm. You can't get back into a, you know, you make the playoffs one year, you don't the next mode. You got to the playoffs last year and lost in the first round. You added this year to the second round. Let's keep the trajectory going with Carberry. Next year, you got to get to a conference final or further. But I love the fact that a year ago, it seemed like they might need to do some significant refurbishing and rebuilding. And it no longer really feels that way because, unlike last year at this time, Danny, Connor McMichael's a stud. Alexi Protas is a star. You were able to bring in pieces like Dubois and like Bevilier at the trade deadline and like Roy defensively. And like Chychrun, who you've since extended, and like Logan Thompson, who are long-term building blocks. So they're very close again, and now you got some money to try to put the finishing touches on this thing.
So this is all a matter of perspective in terms of success or not. To me, it's a success because Ovi set the goal record. That happened, and that was so delightful. That was incredible. The year that a 39-year-old, the greatest goal scorer ever to live, no debate anymore, thank you, please, broke his leg, he still set the goals record. That makes this year a success. Besides that, though, over a 21-year period, the Capitals made the playoffs 18 times, got to one Stanley Cup final. Those other years, one conference final, too, where they lost. The other 16 years, they lost in the first or second round. That was from 1982 to 2003. That was pre-Rock the Red. This era has been almost identical to that. 7 second-round exits, 9 first-round exits to go over the course of their, 8 first-round exits, and then one Stanley Cup Finals appearance. The difference is they won that Stanley Cup. They got that one breakthrough. That happened. That took all the poison away from me, took all my venom away, took all my angst, my woe was me, my it's DC's turn, any kind of tantrum or whatever that I might throw. So relative to their history, this is it. This is what they do. And we'll talk about all the processes, which are good. They'll talk about all the players, which are good. And everything they've done is right. If there was some secret formula, I'd hand it to them, and maybe this would be different. But given their history, to me, the variable this year was Ovechkin setting that record. So, yeah, to me, it's a success. But it's also kind of given the 50 years of this franchise, the 20-year periods that we dealt in pre-Rock the Red and during this Rock the Red era, this is it. So, yeah, I would say it's a success.
So I'm confused, though, with the first part. You're saying when you grade this season, you were talking a lot about history. So for you, this season is not its own entity. You're talking about the 50-year sample? Or
no, I'm comparing it to, there have been two distinct 20-year periods. One's 21 years. That's the time that a lot of Caps fans don't even know happened, by the way, from when I was a kid. And then this rocked the red era. So in 20 years of Ovechkin, they've gone to the playoffs 16 out of the 20 years, lost in the first round, 15 of those 20. First or second round, rather, 15 of those 20, made it to one cup final. That's their breakthrough. That happened.
Right.
So holding them to that standard, given their history, I think is probably folly. So to me, this is... I'll have fun next year. I'll watch them play, and we'll go through it. And I just don't have the anger that, oh, this sucks. It's a failure. I got a humongous sample. I got 41 years of hockey data that says once every 20 years, they break through, get to the finals, do something that they don't normally do. The rest of the time, this is kind of what it is.
So I guess we get to the same result very, very differently. I view the season as its own entity, right? It's a different group almost entirely.
Totally.
And it's the coaching staff has been here now for two seasons. But for me, when you're asking me, was this season a success, how could I possibly answer that without looking solely at what were the expectations and what did we think this team was and then what did they do? That's really all that matters for this season. It's not about last year or 5 years ago or 10 years ago or 15 years ago. When the season began, someone fairly plugged in that follows them in the offseason and has a pretty good idea of their roster. What I was hoping for was, I want Ovi to break the record, which I didn't think was going to happen this year, but I thought he had a good chance to. And I hope they make the playoffs. That they're not doing that as this middling team that ends up missing the playoffs. Because even though they got into the playoffs last year, barely, they got outscored by almost 40 goals in differential on the way.
Mm-hmm.
For them to have not only surpassed that, but not narrowly, I mean, they were arguably the best team in the NHL in the regular season. It's a massive success. The only way you could say it isn't, in my opinion, the only way, and we'll get to the phones on this, and I'll be curious to hear what people think, 800-636-1067, is if you recalibrate after the end of the regular season and now you go, you're a one seed, you're the best team in the East, you better get to the conference final or else, ... And there, for me, doesn't work because I just don't view the hockey playoffs that way. And that frustrates a lot of people that don't see it the same way I do, and that's okay. You're allowed to be frustrated. But I don't view it as football or basketball or baseball where, like, the better team is favored and should win. They were the underdog in this series. You want to play that game, I'll tell you they were the underdog against the Hurricanes. You know, they weren't supposed to win this series. But the only way you could say it's a failure or not a success or something is it was a quote-unquote early exit because they were the best team in the East. And if that's how you want to evaluate it, that's fine. You move the goalpost at the end of the regular season, you're allowed to do that. I don't have such a thing as when you're punching above your weight class all year and you're in the first year of whatever this new look operation is, like the expectations of cup or bust. And I mean, look at the Vegas Golden Knights who got eliminated a day or two before the Capitals. This happens in hockey all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It's just part of it, man. That you have less control over the result as a team than in any other sport. Doesn't mean you have no control. I'm not suggesting that. Doesn't mean they played a good series against Carolina. I'm not suggesting that. But you could outplay a team in every single game and lose every single game, and we've seen it dozens of times over the years.
College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's go with Andrew in Stafford on Grant and Danny. What's up, Andrew?
Hey, Grant. I'm with you on this one. It was, Obi, the record was fantastic, and this team was awesome to watch. I don't think I missed one or two games the whole year, and I think the thing that really got me was the shooting percentage stat they flashed during the game last night, and that's the other team putting it to you. You know, when you lead the league in shooting percentage and goal differential for most of the year, and then all of a sudden the other team can cut that almost in half, your shooting percentage and your shots on goal,
yep.
I don't know how you overcome that.
Yeah, they were the second best team in this series, and they finished in second.
Yeah.
It's pretty easy. Sometimes there have been times, Danny, where I remember watching them play the Penguins or the Rangers or whatever, and we get to an end of a series, they get eliminated. And it is so maddening and heartbreaking because I really think they were the better team and they got eliminated. I didn't have that feeling last night. It's actually going to be way easier for me to move on from this because it's a tip-your-cap series. This is a Carolina was better and deserved to win the series.
Mm-hmm.
It's easier when you just, you know, you get into a fight and you get knocked out. I think that's a little bit easier.
Yeah, the bigger,
than,
stronger guy who was trained in jiu-jitsu, whoop my ass. Yep.
When nobody gets knocked out, and I should have won on the cards, but I'm told that I lost on the cards. That one's a little bit tougher. Let's go to Johnny in Fredericksburg. What's up, Johnny?
Hey, man. Thank you for taking my call.
Hey,
I think overall the season was a success, but I will say moving forward, I don't think as long as Ovi and Carlson are on the team, we're just going to win another one. And it's because as the season progresses and the playoffs get more intense, like these passes got to be crisper. The reaction time has got to be, you know, way faster. And they just have to play faster. And I just don't think that they have, based on this series, they don't have the additional gear to take it up a notch. And they take up so much of our cap space and everything. And I love Ovi, man. Like, I love this team. I've been watching them for 20-plus years, but it's a long time. You know, he's like almost 40, you know. And that's all I pretty much got to say about that.
Yeah, they both have 1 year left on their deal. I'll be curious to see on the back end of that what happens because they both play at a high level throughout the regular season. Ovi was, you know, the Rocket Richard winner if he didn't break his leg and was out for 5 weeks. And Carlson logs huge minutes and plays much of the season at an all-star level as a, you know, plus offensive defenseman. But yes, there's just no doubt at the end of these years, if they're healthy, that's the caveat. We never know because hockey doesn't really say. But if those guys were both healthy, the way they played in the postseason, it puts a bad taste in your mouth. You know, going into the offseason for sure. But when you're 39 and you're 36 and you log those kind of miles, it stands to reason. It does get a little bit harder, which is why I think the roles ideally shift, where Carlson's not giving you 24 to 26 minutes and maybe he's, you know, a pair down from where he was or down lower and you can rely a little bit more on the smarts and the acumen and the being around the block. Ovi's role changes maybe moving forward.
College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.